lies not to tell.
Whoa, I feel like I'm supposed to have more things open.
I think you have emails open, and then I've got some Wikipedia articles open to help me sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
that's right. The Wikipedia article for penis open, just because I needed a quick refresher. Hello, and welcome to Kiss and Tellcast episode, I think, was this 26?
205.
If we'd actually done it every week from when we started, it probably would be. I think it's actually episode 26. We have not done one of these in a while. Part of that's because I've been bouncing around different places. This is Scott, by the way. And in case you've forgotten my voice. And now I live in New York. And Mare still lives in Seattle, but he didn't have any internet. So he was like, it's like he lived in a desert or in a hermitage or a cave. But we're going to do one of these. A lot of our secrets they've ripened. They've come to
aged.
Yeah, they've
fermented.
Aged very well. So I guess, Mario, I don't know what to say. It's been so long. Should we talk about the intervening time at all? Or should we just go to secrets? What do you think?
Oh, like what we've been up to?
Yeah. What have you been doing for the last six? Is it almost 6 months?
I have no idea. I was just thinking about how I don't know what I've been doing.
I think you made some sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Yeah, I made some sandwiches. I made lasagna last night. That's exciting. Well, I didn't eat lasagna. I was asleep.
So you ate lasagna?
I ate lasagna. That's a pretty cool story.
Cool story.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just been making comics and trying to get paid for stuff.
If you have a job for Mare, he'll do it. He'll do anything. What if it was like to kill someone or bump someone off?
Think about it.
Actually, probably you should say no right now, but then wink.
Okay.
I think that's the proper etiquette for this. I went on kind of a vision quest to Texas. And just like I stayed there longer than I think that I've stayed there since I moved away when I was 20. And it was like I forced myself to just cook in the terribleness, like just stew in the awfulness of Texas during the summer.
Are you talking about how you cooked? Like you made meals?
No, I'm talking about like my vision quest where I just like physically immersed myself in the flaming awfulness of Texas.
See. And you bathed in it.
Yeah, I did. And it burned away just all this excess. It just burned away
toxins,
all these it burned away a lot of toxins. And then I moved to New York City where I live now and where I go to school.
More toxins. I think that's
now I'm taking in more toxins. It really is gross here, and I don't know why people live in New York because it doesn't have. I don't think it has anything to recommend for it, unless you maybe if you're rich, it is a really good place to live. But I think if you're not rich, it's not a very good place to live. And if you're rich, why don't you go somewhere nicer?
Well, no, they have they live in their high rise apartments and.
I actually
away
went into
from the surfs. It's like the Jetsons.
It actually is like that because I had to do a group project and I went to this girl's parents' apartment and it was the 50th floor of a building, like truly the whole floor. And I've been in mansions before, like big houses, but I'd never been in an apartment that was a mansion and it just had infinity rooms. It was like a maze. It was impressive.
Cool.
They had a custom karaoke setup. Was very exciting.
It was
weird. Mari, what else? I don't know. Maybe we should just get into it. It's been so long. I feel a little rusty, but I think let's hop into it. Let's start with an easy one.
Okay. I'm a guy and I have no problem being a guy or being perceived as a guy, but I hate my penis. Not because of its size, because of its existence. I'm pretty sure trans isn't a thing though.
So what do you think about that?
Hate your penis. I don't. Its existence. I don't know. Some people cut it off.
Some people
just get rid of it.
That made me think of something. So right, there's if you want. I don't know. Some people hate their penis because they want to be a woman, and then they go through that operation and do it. But it sounds like he's cool being a guy. So what it made me think of is this thing. I had to look up the name. Because I didn't remember it, but it's called body integrity identity disorder. And it's this thing where people want to be amputees.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
So like it's almost like, you know, like the opposite of someone losing a limb and then feeling like it's there and feeling unwhole, like a opposite of a phantom limb kind of thing. It's where you feel like one of your limbs is too many. Like you have this extra limb.
A phantom limb.
Yeah. It's like the ghost of, no, it doesn't. It's like a corporeal limb.
A corporeal, such a weird thing though.
So yeah, and it's it is weird, and it's not what's weird. I don't want to sound like I'm criticizing the people that have this, but it's a tricky thing because it doesn't seem to fall under normal or you know other conventional kinds of psychological disorders. It's like its whole own thing. And there's people that go and like get their legs amputated if they can find a doctor that will do it, just because they don't want that leg anymore. And I didn't know this, but there's a movie called Armless, about this guy who wants his arms, both of his arms gone.
Yikes. You're not going to be able to get stuff done.
You're not going to, I don't think you would like that choice. I don't think you would enjoy that choice.
Yeah. Just have a trial run where you tie your arms behind your back.
Tie your penis behind your back.
Tucked in your sweater.
Yeah. But then there's another. So that's like extreme. That's where you just really don't want this thing on your body. But then there's this, you know, the other sort of more common kind of body dysmorphic disorder kind of thing, which lots of stuff falls under that. But it's just where, you know, there's a part of your body that you spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about, and it's always on your mind, and it kind of depresses you. And it makes me feel bad for this guy, because I feel like I haven't been diagnosed with that, but I feel like I have it to a degree. Like
there's what's just it for?
Every inch of my body.
Oh, shut up.
I don't know. I just don't like it very much. I don't like in reading about it, that's something that seems to be more conventionally treatable. Like there's cognitive behavioral therapy and things like that. But also like that can just be like a symptom of, or, you know, like connected to depression or social anxiety or something like that. So maybe you just hate your penis because you're low on serotonin or something like that. It's something else. So I think, if it's something that really bothers you, it's almost certainly something that you can get help with short of having it removed. I think that
it's not super in the way though. You can't really get that back, you know?
That's true. Maybe you should learn to live with it. And I think you can. I think, you know, what everybody out there, if you need some help with something, there's all kinds of helpers out there. Especially if you've got, you know, some insurance, it shouldn't be too hard to go find some therapist to talk to you about it and give you a hand. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't, you can probably find somebody that can work something out for you. But I don't think you should have to go through every day hating some part of your body.
Mm-hmm. I have this joke that I've been repeating in my brain because I haven't figured out what to do with it yet. And I'm going to make a comic, I think, but the joke is that I don't think I've gotten more okay with the way I look or my body. I think I just got prettier.
Mari, you have gotten better looking in the last few years. I think I've noticed this about you. I think you've blossomed in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's not like I've overcome anything. I just got pretty. That's all.
Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you to do about that. In a penis related context, like unless you maybe like want to dress it up or try some more exotic pubic hair stylings, but I don't think that's going to work for this person.
There was a person in Japan who decided that, he says he's asexual, so I don't know what that means anymore, but he cut off his penis and then he like auctioned off or sold tickets, to a dinner where people ate it.
I don't think
you hear about that?
No, and I don't think I'd recommend that either.
And he like got it tested and like I don't know. That was weird. It was a weird thing.
That is surprising. I did just learn more about, I think there was a stuff you should know about asexuality, and I thought it was really interesting about it as like a marginalized group that is starting to get together, and it's not that it's, I don't know. It was kind of eye opening for me. I thought it was really interesting that there is an organized almost civic rights kind of group.
I'd like to hear what they have to say, but not from Tumblr.
I don't think Tumblr is the place to look. I thought I don't remember what the name of the organization is, but if you listen to that episode of Stuff You Should Know, it's a good one.
Tumblr is full of those kinds of people, and they just yell and they get mad about anything.
I think the internet is full of people that get mad about anything. Mario, I had to stop. I've stopped tweeting. I haven't tweeted. I tweet two people occasionally, but I had this weird, that was part of my vision quest in Texas. I was reading a lot. I was reading about Buddhism and I was reading about right speech. And one of the things about right speech is, well, yeah, like only say useful things. And then I looked at Twitter and I thought, that is not what happens here. Right. So I don't know if I feel like maybe I'll try to start again in a different way, but it made me just kind of just cold stop putting things up there.
I think of Twitter as a lot of noise, and sometimes there's good stuff, and I like noise.
I know you were just saying about your dishwasher that you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it's like. It's very comforting to me.
Can we say anything else to this person, or should we move on? I will say, just to tack onto the end of this, when he says, "I'm pretty sure trans isn't a thing," I promised. Well, Mari, it's everything is a thing.
You know what? Yeah, this is kind of like Headmates and like, you know, there's a person who lives in my brain and this is what he is. He's one of my characters, one of my personalities.
I think if you just get on the internet, you'll find that everything is a thing. Just look around a little bit and you'll find it, and there'll probably be sites and forums dedicated to it. Yeah, if that's what you decide.
You're never alone.
You're really not. Everybody is weird and everybody has weird things going on, which I guess means everyone's normal.
I feel like I should be more supportive to this person. I've kind of just been joking.
No, I know. And I feel I identify with this because I do feel like I have some degree of body dysmorphic disorder. And I feel like it's not cool to every day not like some part of your body. So I would say try to get some help with it. And maybe, you know, it's one of those things. It's a kind of a shift of perspective thing, because you're probably not going to be able to do something to drastically change your body, particularly that part of it. And it was weird because I was surprised by this, but on the Wikipedia article, they have like by percentage, the parts of body that people are unhappy with. Mm-hmm. And I was actually super surprised with it because, the top five are not what I would pick. So if you just had to guess, like, what would you say are like the top couple of things people are unhappy with about their body?
I'm going to say belly and thighs, nose. I don't know.
So that you did, that wasn't so bad. I would have thought that like breasts would be way up there, since just surgically, those are that's what's operated most, you know?
Yeah.
Or some, you know, genitals or whatever. But the number one is skin, and it's 73%.
Skin.
Yeah.
Skin.
I know.
Too much skin? What does that mean?
I think it's just people unhappy with their complexion.
Are there just like skinless people walking around?
Yeah, they're out there. No, I think it's people unhappy with their complexion. Number two is hair, which doesn't really surprise me, like men losing their hair. And it's 56%, which makes sense.
That's weird though, because that's like the absence of hair. That makes me. I don't know.
Well, that's not
too much hair.
A different category.
I guess too much hair is also a problem. But.
So nose is 37%. Then weight.
Damn.
Weight was only 22, and stomach was only 22, and breasts were in number six at 21. But then it was like eyes, thighs, teeth, legs.
Okay, but so this is percentages within body bio.
It was just a survey of all these patients to see what they were most concerned with.
Okay. So this isn't like the general public. These aren't percentages.
No. These are the breakdown of people that have this disorder. But like, I noticed that calves was 8%. I know calves are something that you're invested in. But genitals are also 8%, which I was surprised that it was tied with calves.
And same thing.
And cheekbones. And butts are only 12%. But down at the bottom is where things get kind of sad, like where I start to really feel for these people. Like the bottom one is 1% facial muscles. Like
facial muscles?
Yeah, there's people who go through their day every day like totally bummed out, truly depressed about their facial muscles. Ankles.
Their facial muscles aren't ripped.
I don't know.
Six pack on their face.
I don't know. Number two is ankles. So there's people whose lives are like profoundly, deeply, negatively affected by the way their ankles look.
It's so sad.
It is sad. So if you're out there hating those ankles, get in. That's what I'm talking about with this reversal. You probably can't change your ankles, but you can hopefully maybe with some help from a therapist, with some help from cognitive behavioral therapy, learn to love those ankles, love those facial muscles.
There's some statistic we've talked about this, that people who undergo plastic surgery are often not happier.
Yeah, that's even mentioned in this is people that do go through, like, people who aren't happy with their skin who go through crazy things to change their skin, or people who do get operated on, all that stuff doesn't fix the problem. So I think the psychiatric or psychological help is a better way to go than chopping off your ankles.
Mm-hmm. Also, maybe this guy should find someone who loves his penis, because I'm sure someone does.
Somebody out there does.
I bet.
There's a penis for everybody. Is there a saying for that? I don't think there is.
I don't think there is a reason for that.
Okay, we should. We're done with this question. This question's over.
Okay, get out of here. Okay. Last night, while out grabbing drinks with friends, I wrote a small note on my receipt letting the waitress know I think she's cute. The thing is, I am in a committed relationship and my friends found this shocking. But I see it as just a harmless gesture and a nice thing to say. I wasn't intending to pick up this girl and I won't ever see her again. Just wanted to say something nice.
Mari, how do you feel about this? Because I have a story.
Maybe don't say anything.
So you
just don't say anything. This is like almost like catcalling.
So are you talking more? So there's almost kind of two problems here. One is like, is it appropriate to do this at all? Like, is it okay to like leave notes to your waitress and say she's a hottie?
I'm not going to say it's black and white like that.
No, but I just mean, but the other question is like about the committed relationship part. So which is the part that you take umbrage with? Like which part do you have a problem with?
I'm more concerned with the waitress kind of dynamic.
Okay.
Like
so you're
saying anything at all.
So, and that's, I feel like that's separate a little bit from the relationship part. Do you agree with that? And
yeah.
That's something I wonder about too. Cause that's something that just comes up in life sometimes. Like, it came up in my head the other day. I had a classmate that I thought she just looked really nice and it wasn't even a pickup thing. She just was dressed nicely and looked nice that day, but I didn't know her very well. And so I didn't say you look nice today just because I didn't want it to, seem like a creepy or inappropriate thing. But I feel like that comes up, or like, sometimes it even comes in like on the subway or something where you see a hottie and you're just like, I just want to tell her that she's a hottie. But it's probably, I feel like it's maybe best overall not to do that, particularly with strangers.
Absolutely.
Now, if there's someone you have a rapport with and someone, that is your friend or whatever, then it's a different story. So, but what the thing that kind of caught me about this was the relationship part, that he was in a relationship. So what do you think about that part?
Shocking. Shock. I wouldn't be shocked, but it's more useless than anything else.
Do you find it like, I don't know what's quite the right word, but like deceitful or like a betrayal of any kind to tell someone else something like that when you're in a relationship?
I don't know what this person's intentions were, but I feel like if you're a person, you're gonna look.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have feelings. And I don't know, part of being in a relationship is fending those off or acknowledging them.
Oh, that's true. I think that's a good point. Cause sometimes I feel like things are precious because of the sacrifices you make for them. And part of what makes a committed relationship important is part of the, sacrificing that with. So the reason I got caught up on this is because I made a mistake once. Mari.
And just
I think,
once?
Well, I've made, no, I think, basically, I make terrible mistakes every day of my life, and my life is one continuous mistake. But there's one mistake that specifically pertains to this, where I made a choice that was, I think
this.
I think I told you about this at one point. But once I was at, I think it was at Cafe Vita, and I think I was there with a mutual friend of ours at the time who was a lesbian. And I think both of us sort of commented.
I like the past tense.
Well,
yeah.
Things change, Mari.
People change.
So anyway, I think both of us, for whatever reason it came up, I don't remember how it came up exactly, but we, at the end of the day, we both had commented that our server or the barista or whoever it was that we thought she was cute. So what we decided to do, which we thought would be really funny, And again, I want to stress that like the source of this was a funny idea, but the idea was that we would both do "And I Saw You" in "The Stranger."
But which is like a misconnection if you guys don't know.
So, but we would both do it with the exact same writing, except one would be from her and one would be from me.
Right.
And so
from our friend. Yeah.
So I wrote it and then I submitted it on the Stranger website. And then our friend did the exact same thing, but changed like, you know, male to female. So it was a female looking and submitted it on the website. And I don't remember exactly what came of it. I think the, if I remember right, like the ones they print in the paper are just a selection, like a pared down selection of them. And so they picked hers and not mine, which I thought was kind of funny.
I thought they did both.
No, I think for the for the website, both were on, but the newspaper, I think they just put hers. Anyway.
Well.
So I know it was, I was a little upset because it was kind of like plagiarism.
The whole joke is gone.
I know. But all of that aside, I felt I was in a relationship with someone at the time and I felt like I needed to tell them about this. Like just so it wouldn't be like, I don't know. Cause I did feel a little weird about it in that context and like whether you know, it's okay to do this when you're in a relationship with somebody. And, but I thought that I would tell it in a way that like, you know, this was a joke. This was a funny thing to do for both of us to do. And that person was not happy with me and was very upset. And took kind of great offense that I would do this. So from that perspective, it's hard to say, you know, different relationships have different tones and different people are jealous about different things and all of that. But in this case, it was the question shouldn't have been whether I was okay with it, but more whether the person I was seeing was okay with it.
Absolutely.
Or and what they would think of it.
Right. It doesn't matter what your friends think as long as your partner is okay with it.
Yeah. So, and again, I kind of thought I was circumventing that by being open about it and saying, oh, I did this funny thing today with our friend, but she was not happy. And it actually like ended up one of those things where that then became part of a greater hostility, you know, like where then, and there was the time that you know, like it was put on my permanent record and
file somewhere.
Yeah, Mari, there really is. And with certain people, that record can get dangerous. And so, so I feel like that ended up being a permanent strike against me. So on the two questions here.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
You did the right thing in telling her.
Well, I thought I was, but it certainly did not feel like it at the time when it was, continually thrown back in my face for repeatedly. So I think the two lessons here are one, it's not like, I don't know, Mari, cause on the relationship front, I feel like it's safer not to, if you're in a relationship with somebody, it's safer not to.
At
the same time though, if you're in a relationship, it's easier to make the case that like, oh, I was just being nice. It's not like I was trying to pick her up. The thing is, I don't know, my instinct on the safety side is to say, just don't ever do this. But then I can kind of think of circumstances where like, man, it might actually be a really nice thing to get some confirmation from somebody that you look nice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to set up a world where no one is able to compliment anybody.
That's not the world that we live in though.
Well, what do you think? Like if you were a barista or a server or something and somebody, I mean, on the one hand, I don't know, they probably get flirted with and like constantly all the time and it's probably kind of tedious, but do you ever think it would be nice to get a note that said you're a hottie? I don't know.
I once got a note like that. I think just once, maybe twice in my life. Maybe on the internet too. Anyway, I never like it. It always feels like a trick. It feels like they're trying to trick me into this false sense of security.
Yeah. So I can actually, because now I feel like I've been in situations kind of like that where when you get a compliment like that from somebody you don't want it from, it's never good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't even know the person and...
Yeah. Or
what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah. Or if it's, it's like trying to pick you up or something. I don't know. Maybe just, it's tricky. Don't try not to do it. I think maybe don't do that.
I have this problem with advice too. When someone gives unsolicited advice and they just tell you what to do with your life, basically.
Like I do to everyone on the show.
Well, that's different. Oh, okay. They have a choice to listen or not.
Oh, but okay.
If I complain about something on the internet, or, you know, just vent a little bit, I'll say like, oh, I can't sleep. And they'll be like, oh, you can't sleep because of this. Or like, it's because of blah, blah, blah. And I'm really careful about saying anything about nutrition, because then they'll say like, oh, you better eat meat or something and
yeah.
get into veganism. Anyway, I think in general, you shouldn't catcall, but it's nice to tell your friends that they look nice.
So
and say things like, well, like with that girl in your classroom, maybe she had a nice scarf. You could say, oh, it's a nice scarf, or I don't know.
I know it's tricky. It's tricky out there, Murray. I don't know what to say about it.
I think
when, particularly when you are, I mean, particularly with a server at a bar or a restaurant, mm-hmm. like, you know that, I don't know, there's always this, I've even made sort of uncomfortable by it, but like this whole implicit, particularly at bars, like the flirtiness with female bartenders where they just have to deal with that all the time and it's part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where there's just constantly dudes flirting with them, but at some,
right.
at some point, a lot of servers and bartenders seem to encourage that because they get better tips. Like, I don't really like that whole world.
Right. It's really scary too, because everyone thinks that they're nice. Everyone thinks that they deserve some sort of, I don't know, special treatment for being nice, which should be the default.
You should just do that. Just be nice, everybody. Everyone
thinks they're nice and that they deserve something because of it. Just be nice.
Just be nice and don't think you deserve anything.
Yeah.
How does that? Whoa. Did a plane just fly by your room?
No, it's a truck. We live the alley between us and the post office is right next door.
Now everyone knows where you live.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Don't look up Seattle post office alley. That's my address.
On Google Maps. Mari lives in an alley behind a post office. Huh. He's on hard times, everybody out there. You got to get this guy a job. I don't know how he got internet to that alley.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you get internet there?
Oh, I don't know.
You're stealing Wi-Fi?
I'm jacked in somewhere.
Jacked in. Shall we move on? So maybe just don't do this. I think it's I don't think anyone gains out of this. Maybe like
you didn't do anything wrong. It's just... Just don't do it.
Yeah. How about that? Okay. Maury, what is next?
I used to compulsively buy journals, notebooks, sketchbooks, and all kinds of writing utensils and art supplies. I would start a journal and fill about a quarter of it before I felt the need to buy a new one. Lots of times I'd put a short, smutty story in each journal and sometimes doodles to go along with it. Years later, I find them hidden and read them over again. And then I wonder what the heck I might have been thinking.
So this one took a turn for me. Because at first I was like right on it. Because
I thought I knew where this was going.
Like split it in half. You have like the compulsively buy journals and art supplies things, which I feel like is a big, trying to be a creative person is almost like this weird rite of passage or creative barrier or something like this, where you get in your head that, oh, I want to make things. So I need to buy the tools to make things. Like I need sketchbooks and pens and all those things. And you can get in this weird situation, particularly for whatever reason with notebooks and sketchbooks, where you're like, oh, well, I got to have just the right one, or this one's not quite right. And I personally finally just gave up on them and decided to use loose leaf paper, because there's all this weird, I have all these psychological hangups about notebooks and wanting to keep them nice, which is not really what you want to do when you're trying to sketch and stuff. So I thought I knew where this was going, and then it turned into that they were writing smutty stories. And I didn't...
Well, I don't think that's a huge part of it, is it?
No, not that that was bad, but I guess that I was like, all right, I understand this secret. And then the secret was that they wrote smutty stories in these journals and then hid them away and then found them later. So I guess the one, I want to know what you think about it. And two, I want to know if this, does this ring any bells for you? Like, do you have anything like where you wrote smutty stories or
or I think
dirty pictures or.
I think in high school I was more, I don't know. Hormonal maybe. Mm-hmm. And I would just think about people all the time. And, a few times I just fantasized that they would come over and we would make out, or like I would be in a Goodwill dressing room and they would be there too.
Wait.
So that's about as smutty as it gets.
Is this like fan fiction about yourself?
Yes. There's an episode of Bob's Burgers, which is by the same people who made Home Movies. And one of the characters writes friend fic.
So this is kind of like friend fic.
It's friend fic.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, okay.
Friend fic is creepier than stranger fiction, I think. Stranger than fiction.
Yeah, we're kind of going to get to that later in another question, but another secret. But so what do you think about, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong or weird about this. I think it's, I think even taking the smuttiness about, I think there's plenty of things that I, you know, one of the end is them coming across it and then wondering what they were thinking about. And, I don't necessarily have like something just like this, but I've been keeping a journal for an almost daily journal for over a decade now. And when I go back and look at stuff from my early 20s, mm-hmm. sometimes I just do not know what I was thinking. Like sometimes I can identify or understand, but sometimes it's like, this is another person and I've forgotten writing it. And in some cases have forgotten the events and everything. So it's like, I'm reading a totally new account about things mm-hmm. that I never knew sometimes I just don't understand it. And sometimes I even look back at like, you know, things that I've done or things from my past and just think, I don't know who that person was. I don't mm-hmm. understand it.
I have that for my Zanga and for my daily comics that I used to do. Because the comics, I don't know, when I was drawing them, I was like, oh yeah, this looks good. And I look back and I'm like, no, this doesn't, you didn't really know how to draw faces or like circles or anything. Like they're still okay, but I don't know, they weren't. I remember people would get like so hyped up on them and be like, oh yeah, these are great. Like I love your comics and whatever, they're funny. But I'm like, this is really like poorly rendered.
You know, that's a phenomenon that is sometimes a difficult one, but I feel like, so I've had that with a lot of things that I've made that I like look back mm-hmm. on them and think, mm-hmm. man, I thought this was really good at the time, but it is really not good.
But not just that, but people told you it was good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right. The prevailing opinion around you that there was good, like you had no reason to think it wasn't good. And then later you go back.
I don't know if I can trust them anymore.
Well, here's what the only safe way to think about that, I think, is to think of it in terms that you have leveled up since then, that you have gotten better, like you have improved. And I think to me, the biggest benefit of keeping and like presenting and documenting your work well is so you can go back and look at it, not because it was great, but just so you can see that you have progressed and see that you've gotten better. So I wonder, from that standpoint, do you think this person goes back and looks at it and thinks that, man, my erotic fiction that I write now is way better? What was I even thinking? That wasn't even sexy. But now I've got it on lock.
I hope so.
Mari, what do you think about sexy text? Have we talked about this before? Like, what's your opinion?
Sexting?
No. I mean, erotica in text form.
Oh, I've read some. It's fine. It's just another way of just more porn.
So I think my experience with it is always one of surprise that it is effective. Well, you know what I mean? I even think like, I remember like when I was a kid you'd occasionally get magazines in your hands. And I think occasionally I would get through whatever like network of trading with my friends or whatever, a Penthouse Letters, which mm-hmm. on the one hand was always the most disappointing one because it's just a bunch of words and you want the pictures. But then
is Penthouse Letters all letters?
I think so. Was it Penthouse? Maybe it was Penthouse Forum. It was something that was all basically a dirty magazine, but it was all text. Pretty much all text.
Kind of stupid.
Well, yeah. That was
maybe
like
more discreet. I don't know.
Yeah, but I feel like in reading it, I was always surprised that like, oh, that is, you can get turned on from that. Like that can be just as sexy in a different way.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But it still surprises me. Like accidentally, if I'm reading a novel that has a sex scene or something, even if it's not like an erotic novel or something, sometimes it just catches me off guard. Like, oh, words can be real hot.
Yeah. In some ways it's nice because it's so surprising. Like you don't expect it and then it just hits you.
Yeah, no, there it is. There it is. Just shocking. Mari, are there any kinds of erotic texts that you like that you want to recommend? Are there any?
Oh, I don't know. I've been out the game for a while, so you know.
Something comes to mind that is totally inappropriate, but I feel like I need to recommend it. Inappropriate mm-hmm. in that it is not actually inappropriate, but I feel like I want to recommend it because it is so good and it's old and mm-hmm. you may have seen it around, but I feel like it's time for a comeback. Did you ever read those Roy Orbison and Klingfilm fan fiction stories by some guy? I think he was in Scandinavia.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, they're so good. So it's basically erotic Roy Orbison fan fiction. But
okay.
The fetish isn't sexual. The fetish is wrapping Roy Orbison in basically in saran wrap from head to toe.
Oh, this sounds kind of familiar. I think we've talked about this before.
They're so good. The thing the best part about it is like the elaborate fiction the author constructs to put himself in a situation where Roy Orbison needs to be wrapped in cling film from head to toe. So some examples, like I think one of them, there's a car wreck, and to save Roy Orbison's life, he has to wrap him in cling film from head to toe. I think in one, there's like a terrorist kidnapping, and to hide him, he has to do it. I think in one, he's at a massage parlor, and he hears that Roy Orbison's getting massaged, so he takes the place of the massage therapist and convinces Roy Orbison that for his skin's health, that he has to wrap them. I think there's one that is his first science fiction attempt where they're in outer space and there's like some kind of hull breach or something, and the only way to save Roy is to wrap him in cling film. They're masterful. They're not very sexy, but I feel like as far as, you know, that kind of in the world of fan fiction mm-hmm. around a certain fetish, I think it's top notch.
Have you read any interactive fiction that is erotic? I don't know if red is the correct.
I think so. When I
That's a thing, right?
was yeah. first, so well, now it's you know, erotic games are their own thing, and like the dating simulators and all that stuff. But
that's all visual.
Well, right. So, but just like those, you know, just like all, you know, current adventure games have a text-based precursor.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one really specifically. So. Before the internet was popular, I used to get on bulletin boards all the time, and you would just like, you know, dial in with your modem to somebody else's modem and then download stuff. And I remember once I got this erotic game that was basically mm-hmm. a text-based erotic game.
Mm-hmm.
But the really amazing part about it was that it had ASCII art.
Yeah.
Of the naked women.
That's cheating.
And so... yeah, it was kind of cheap, but it would just like, it would never fit on the screen. Like it would just scroll by and then you would have the text. But so the one that I remember,
that's a boob.
Yeah. So the one I remember, the scenario I remember, I don't remember anything about it, but I remember that I was, except for this, that I was in a mansion and I was like going from mm-hmm. room to room, and there was a woman and she was ready for me. She was ready. But she was
a maze of rooms.
Her body was ready, but
it was covered in saran wrap.
No, the weird thing, it was covered in hair.
Huh?
It was that, and I don't know if this was like some proto furry thing, but it was the first time I ever encountered anything like that. But she was like, but you know, like very fine blonde hair all over her whole body, and it was supposed to be a sexy thing, and it so took me out of the erotic. I think I had to stop playing after that, not because I was disgusted, but just because I was so. I had a lot to think about after that.
Did they mean like you were so close you could see the hairs on her body?
I don't know what they meant, but to my, I don't know, 13, 14-year-old imagination, it was right. like she was a werewolf or something.
Blonde Sasquatch.
Yeah. That was my foray into almost like choose your own adventure sex yeah. ventures.
Well, yeah, that kind of like community-based art form. Usually isn't very mainstream.
I was surprised. Yeah, and I don't feel like it was just an eye opener. That's all I'll say. It wasn't good mm-hmm. or bad. It was just like, mm-hmm. okay, not only do some people, you know, enjoy these erotic adventures, not only do they like to see a very lovingly rendered, but you know, by necessity, not very detailed ASCII art image of a naked woman covered in body hair, but that the mm-hmm. body hair part was part of their fiction, part of that world.
A friend of mine started doing a Twitter-based like short story thing, that she does, I think, whenever she can't sleep.
Okay.
I want more content like that, like fiction, but in little digestible chunks. I don't think cell phone novels are as big in America as they are in Japan.
That's what I was going to say. I've heard about it a little bit, but I feel like, yeah, I feel like you don't get much of that.
Yeah. I also want, I bet this exists, like a choose your own adventure, like SMS thing. Like you text your next action. Is that a thing?
That sounds like it has to be a thing, but that's a right? pretty cool idea, even if it's
it
not.
It sounds so fun.
It seems like you could pretty easily like patch it into an existing RPG too. Like what are the old mm-hmm. ones? So I used to play all these old adventure games. How what were they called? There was one real famous one. But they were like pre-MMOs. They were like right. all text-based bulletin board adventures. I think Legend of the Red Dragon was a real popular one. Okay. I think it was called Lord. I think that was it.
Lord. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that would be kind of cool if it was, if you could do it based on a text.
Yeah.
Mari, do we have anything else to say to this person? I feel like we didn't really talk about this.
That's whatever. We hit it enough.
Yeah. Everybody looks back at their life and wonders what was happening and wishes their sex doodles were better doodles.
Right. I had sex with the girl for the first time and she came 3 times. I, however, did not come at all because it normally takes 30 plus minutes to get myself off and I got her off quite fast. Does it still count as losing your virginity even if you don't come? Thanks, a slightly concerned boy. Also, keep up the good work, XO. What a humble brag.
Yeah, I mean, she just kept having orgasms. I just couldn't.
So many orgasms.
Okay, so we've got 2 questions here. The first one, let's just settle this. So, man, this is tricky with virginity. If you come, is it sex if you don't come, Mari?
Yeah,
sex even, but does it count as losing your virginity if you don't come?
It probably counts for girls.
I think it counts. To me, it's almost like the image I get in my head is like crossing your fingers when you tell a lie kind of thing. It's almost like, oh, I didn't come. It doesn't count. I'm still a virgin. It doesn't count.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So that's the one.
I don't know if he wants to stay a virgin though.
No, probably not. I think, well, unless he like needs that, I don't know, unless he needs it later, like unless he needs.
Then yeah, in your own head, you're going to say it's okay. That's fine.
So, okay. That's one half. The other is this problem this concerned fellow has. Do you have anything to say to that?
The problem, his like opposite erectile dysfunction thing?
Yes.
Or the premature.
That he's a pro. What is the opposite?
Ejaculation.
Extra mature, post mature ejaculation?
Yeah. I wouldn't be concerned, really. I think it's just kind of a weird problem to have. Like, not weird or funny, but I don't know.
So. Here's a collection of thoughts in which I hope there is some helpful information.
Okay.
But I think what it is, what a lot of it is it's psychological, like psyching yourself out, like you're thinking about it too much or whatever. So, whatever the reason is, my thought is that it's probably in your head because, and I don't, I mean, obviously this seems like a rare thing for dudes, but I feel like I've known lots of gals who have trouble finishing and it's, a lot of times it's because of what's going on in their head. Like they're thinking too much about it or trying too hard or whatever. Like it's a psychological more than physical thing. So I don't know necessarily what to recommend about that other than just whatever you can do to try to get out of your head. But I will say, I'm going to look it up real fast. This is not very professional. I should have looked it up before. Mari, do you want to like sing a song or something while I look this up?
Yeah. Do you have your Wikipedia page for penis open just to kind of
help you out there? I'm looking for a post-mature ejaculation. No. Okay. So Alain de Botton, who's the author I've talked about before, who's kind of a pop philosopher.
Is it Alain? I thought it was Alain.
Alain? A lion.
I don't know. Alain.
Benjamin Button. Okay. Whatever his name is. We'll put it in the show notes. So I've talked about him a lot in for various reasons, just because I'm a fan of his books. And in one of them, it was actually in his one novel called On Love, he alludes to something like this, like that it's sometimes it's like he has sex problems because he's thinking too much about it because he's in his head. He doesn't really talk about the details. But it resonated with me because I can do that too, be like too cerebral about something that should be kind of a physical thing. Anyway, he has a book that I don't think is out in the US yet, but I think it is, I think it's coming soon, or I think you can look it up, but it's called How to Think More About Sex. And aside from the goofy kind of title, yeah, his whole premise is that it's not that people think about sex too much, but they kind of are thinking about it in the wrong way, and they're having sort of the wrong ideas about it. And I've only read the summary and not the book yet, but it seems like a kind of book that will hopefully sort of help you get in the right mental place to be sort of thinking about sex in a little bit better way, or a way that might be more beneficial instead of like a real cerebral or clinical kind of way, which I feel like I can sometimes lead to. So
yeah, again, sex education is really bad.
Yeah. And even just like, yeah, the way you think about it and what you think about. So anyway, without knowing anything and just saying that maybe this problem is just that you are thinking about it too much, or that it's you're psyching yourself out, or it's a mental thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe look at it from that perspective. Maybe check out this book, and maybe that will help you.
Yeah. But also, this person has had sex once, so
maybe you felt super pressured. Like, I feel there was a time, one of the times that I couldn't finish was like after I went a very long time without having sex. The first time I did after that, I was like so self-conscious about it.
Right.
That it was hard to, that I didn't finish that time, you know? And so, but I knew it, you know, I knew that I was just psyching myself out, and it was a mental thing. And then after that, with the same person, it was fine. So it was really just like a mental thing. So yeah, maybe like, sure, you've got your whole life ahead of you. I don't think you need to worry about it.
Yeah. Once you've had a good track record with the same person, I think, or just with yourself, maybe these things happen. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. You're okay.
All right. I had a mutual breakup with my ex-girlfriend a while back. It was a very quick relationship, but I could tell right away I had strong feelings for her, and still kind of do. While we were together, she told me about an abusive ex-boyfriend she had, and I've recently just found out that they are back together. She's never really talked to anyone about her ex but me, so now I'm stuck with my heart wanting to intervene and my mind telling me it's a bad idea. Okay.
This is a tricky one.
Tricky to read.
It is tricky to read and a tricky situation. Mari, do you have any thoughts for this person?
I just have to say that it's funny that this person writes ex-girlfriend like X-Men.
That's how I read it the whole time. Ex-girlfriend and ex-boyfriend. So they, in addition to him being abusive, he is a mutant.
Yeah, they're mutants. It's really scary.
So joking aside, this is a serious situation. Mm-hmm. Mari, what do you do about this? Can you do anything? As like this outsider, like, what is there anything helpful this person can do?
My knee-jerk reaction is for him to let her know that, I don't know, they're still friends and they can talk. I don't know if they maybe don't allude to the abusive thing. Just be nice. I don't know.
It's really hard because this is it's such a complicated, tricky thing when people are in relationships like that. And not even just physically abusive, but all kinds, like all kinds of unhealthy relationships can be so addictive and so hard to get out of, and so comforting in a weird way that you go back to it. Like, it's hard because if you still care about this person, you're going to want to intervene and you're going to want to do anything. I think you can't be too like hostile about it or too aggressive about it. But I think Mari's right. Just let them know that you're available to say that. I had a friend recently who was in kind of a similar situation, but she was dating this guy who still had feelings for his ex-girlfriend, but who was like a drug addict and who had cheated on him and all this stuff. And he was trying to get away from her as like, you know, as a healthy choice to get his life better. But in the end, he ended up breaking up with my friend and going back to this girl. And my friend thought it was crazy, but they're trying to like go to therapy and go to counseling and things like that. So, I don't know, man. It's really hard to watch somebody walk into something that from an outside perspective seems so unhealthy. And it's so easy for someone in that situation to kind of delude themselves and say, oh, it'll be different this time, or, you know, we're going to do it right this time, or whatever. Like, I've known so many people. I've done it myself, like go back to something unhealthy. I've known a lot of people that get caught up in unhealthy relationships because it's, even if it's unhealthy, there's like a safety to it. Like, man, it's hard. I think the best you can do is kind of just try to be there for her. And
if as
things,
a friend.
Yeah, as a friend. But if things do get bad, you like have to step in, I think. You know, if she's showing up with black eyes or something, I think you have to be more aggressive about your help. But there's not much else you can do about it, unfortunately, just because, you know, she's her own person and she's making this choice. And that's, she's probably going to make it no matter what you tell her. So just try to be a good friend if you can. And I think that's all you can do.
Yeah, that's all I have to really say. That series of me saying, yeah, I think.
That's sometimes, yeah, is all you have to say. And I don't know what else to say, except I too thought that they were all mutants, that the girl's a mutant and has super mutant powers. It is tricky. Just try to be, I don't know if you're a mutant too, but try to be ready. Try to help.
Oh, this one came. This one's okay. I'm not attracted to my mother or my sister at all, but sometimes I fantasize about doing things with a beautiful woman who in my fantasy is my sister or mother.
So can we diagram this sentence and try to figure out how it works? Like, can we, Mari, how does this work? So so let's take the mother sister out of it for a second and we'll just make up a hypothetical girl named Beth. And if I said something like, I'm not attracted to Beth at all, but I have sexual fantasies about Beth, would that seem would that seem like a weird situation to you? Like, would you have difficulty understanding my stance on Beth when I said I'm not sexually attracted to her, but I have sexual fantasies about her?
Well, I'm sure this person would never do anything with their mother or sister. There is like a weird, some sort of like loophole that they found, but I can't quite wrap my mind around it. I know this is a thing, though.
Is it a thing with your own mother and sister? I think we talked once about being attracted to your girlfriend's mother. And I think I've been down that road before, but your own mother and sister?
I think at the very basic level, it's just one of those, it's not odible. What is it?
Well, yeah, it's part
is it
edible.
The other one?
No, Oedipal is where you sleep with your...
Is that your mom?
With your mom.
What's the other one? Oh, I'm thinking of the mom and or the girl and the dad one.
That has a name I never remember. That's a different one.
It's like Electra or something.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly right.
Okay.
I don't know what the brother sister one is, but.
Okay. But yeah, this is just what that is. It's
okay. It's like so, weird, but so you know? There's a couple ways. Okay, first of all, I have like an inverse thing almost. I'm which is probably totally normal, but just to say it, like if I'm looking at pornography or looking at anything like that, and there's even the slightest resemblance to my sister, like it's over. Like I can't, like I have to move on. Like if, and it's not even if they look like my sister sometimes, it's if I even have to think for one split second, does this person look like my sister? Is it weird? Then it's weird. And then
I can't turn it off.
I just personally can't, like if it happens. But that aside, the thing that I can kind of identify with, and I wonder if this is what is happening, is I know for me, how do I put this? Like sometimes it's easier to fantasize about something that you have to imagine less about. And what I mean by that is like, I feel like it's, you know, it would be easier for me to imagine a sexual fantasy, kind of almost like you were talking about friend fic, like imagine something happening with someone I know rather than with a stranger, just because there's less blanks to fill in a way. You know what I mean? Like it would be easier, you know, if I knew Beth, hypothetical Beth, and had been around her, it might be easier to fantasize about her just because I have more information about her rather than just, you know, some random, stranger or something that I was imagining. But so maybe there's like something when you fantasize, it's just easier to fantasize about your sister or mom because you know them.
I think they just want to be taken. I don't know what they think, but it seems like they want to be taken care of. And like this like maternal thing is just that.
I don't know.
It doesn't say anything about like their physical beautiful woman, but not, it's not like, it doesn't seem like a physical thing. It's just like, the concept of maybe an older woman or.
So you think it's like this archetype of mom.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but people always say like, oh, you date your mother or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, Mari. I just worry. I mean, I'm not going to say that this is, you know, you're a bad person or anything, but I just don't want you to set yourself up for something, for difficulties in the future, like having a relationship with somebody. If you've trained yourself where you can only fantasize about your mom or sister or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
right.
Where like you're getting married and you can't get off unless you think about your sister. Like, I don't want you to end up in that situation, but it's one of those things that I feel like, you know, you wear those neural pathways down to where they become real easy to follow, and it can be tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe don't do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean,
there's a huge like incest, I don't know, following or community.
Well, there is, but and this may just be my perspective of it, but incest is a fetish, which, you mm-hmm. know, I've actually known a person or two that have had that kind of inclination. It wasn't mm-hmm. about their own siblings. It was about the idea of it, like somebody else with their brother or sister. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So
that's what it sounds like to me for this person. It more like latched onto the idea than the actual people.
Maybe so. I don't know. I just don't want you to... You're not a weirdo. You're totally fine. Yeah. I just don't want you to set yourself up for difficulties in the future. And I say that with the same kind of thing that I say, like, don't get, you know, like when we were talking to people that were getting into really extreme porn, like I cautioned them because I didn't want it to affect them having a healthy relationship with somebody where they could only get off with super extreme stuff. I say the uh-huh. same caution to you that I don't want you to end up in a situation where like, this is the only thing that can do it for you.
That's really difficult fair? Though. Yeah, I get that. And I remember agreeing with you probably, but sometimes there's like, just like really boring porn. You know what I mean?
Oh, and I don't even mean.
You just get so tired of like same old, same old.
Sure. And I think we talked about that. And I think that led to us both mentioning some interesting things.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which, Mari, can I tell you that my curiosity was so piqued with that beautiful agony site that I actually uh-huh. signed up for a month.
Which one was that?
That's
the one where you just stare at someone?
Where it's just like a headshot of someone having an orgasm, and that's it.
That's so strange.
But weirdly enough, so remember when I saw that, I was like talking about, I'd only seen one of them, uh-huh. and I was talking uh-huh. about it like, I've never seen anything like this. It's unbelievable. Right. But then I subscribed for a month, and by like, uh-huh. I didn't even, you know, it's not like I looked at it constantly for a month, but
right.
after a couple of times, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. Like,
right.
I'm yeah. over this.
Yeah. Yeah. And at first you're like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. So I totally get that, but I don't know, like your private porn, like, you know, the things you do to handle the quasi chore of masturbation, like to do this thing, uh-huh. I feel like is not totally separate, but like should not totally affect how you interact with your lover. Like when you are in a relationship oh, yeah. with someone and you are having sex with them, if suddenly you can't get off because of whatever, like you need them to wear a horse mask or something, like, not that there's any problems with if both of you are into it, you know, living uh-huh. out some fetishes and fantasies. I just don't want you, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't have to bring that into real life.
You don't have to. Maybe you can. And, you know, like, I was about to say something, but then I totally rethought it. And I was like, you know what? I'm certain there's people that like, couples that play out a mother-son fantasy scenario.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
brother-sister fantasy scenario.
Even
so,
if it's not sexual.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like, I mean, with, I won't say this with 100% certainty, but I feel like I've semi been in like party to someone's brother, sister fantasy.
What?
Like huh? where like, no, I mean, this is putting some pieces together, but I feel part of right. it was kind of like, maybe just a tinge of something that not like we acted it out or said it or anything, but it was that person that I'd mentioned that maybe had an interest in incest, and that part of the perception of me may have played into that. So anyway, so I won't even say that you won't find someone to do it with. Just be careful. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I just rewatched Breakfast at Tiffany's, and Audrey Hepburn calls what's his butt by her brother's name the whole time. And she calls him Fred, and his name's Paul.
I totally forgot about that. Do you think?
And it's just like and they like sleep together.
So really she weird. Was clearly into this too. And if Audrey Hepburn was into it, it's
maybe
it's fine.
She's from the country. I don't know. They roll a little differently out there.
It's true. So in that case, it's all fine. I think it's totally fine.
Yeah. Audrey Hepburn. Yep. Good enough for me. I recently started a new job and have become more aware of people's voices to the point of where I find myself sexually attracted to someone purely based on that.
So
this is a little vague.
Okay, so the way I read it was that they have a job that has them on the phone.
That's the blank I filled in. But
okay,
I'm
and so they're
really
on the phone
sure.
And they're talking to people that they never see in person, and they're finding like some attraction to the voices. And so this is a little tricky because it sounds like it's not like you're talking to someone on the phone and you're hitting off like you know. Hitting it off with them and like liking them as a person, but it's something just about the voice. You could think that it was something also like if they were editing audio and they were like, you know, like, you know, say they work at a radio station and they're like editing interviews or something. Maybe there's a situation, but they're in a situation where their exposure to someone is just the voice. Mari, do you have any connection to that? Do you have any?
I forget why. I don't know how I found this, but well, it was a little bit. It was a while ago, and there was a thing called odd blogging, AUD blogging.
Okay.
And this was maybe before vlogging, you know, before everyone had a webcam, but maybe you had a microphone.
Yeah.
So you would record like an MP3, maybe from your phone, like sometimes from a payphone, and make a post. So I was like just listening to these odd blogs by a person whose blog was called Reverse Cowgirl.
I like
that. And
name.
That was the first time I heard of a Reverse Cowgirl. Wait, and some of it was sexy.
How old were you?
But I don't remember how old. It was before I think it was before I went to college.
Okay.
So
but you're not like 10.
6 or 7. I don't think I was 10. I could have been 10. I don't think so though. But yeah, just like sitting there listening to someone's voice, I think it was very lonely.
Well, it's tricky with something like that, you know, like even listening to podcasts, as you sometimes feel like, you know, these people or you can like learn to like them. But even that, I feel like is more of a personality thing than just a voice thing. Like you feel like you're getting to know someone and you might like them. But this did ring some bells with me. Like there's some people, and the one, it weirdly took me back to this situation where I worked at I've had a couple of jobs where I was like, I had a tech support job where I was on the phone with people all the time. And I don't remember anything from that time, but I've had a number of like, web jobs or tech jobs like that, where I'm on the phone with clients. And, I did that a lot at my previous job, but there wasn't anybody that really stuck out. But anyway, there was a company called Boundless when I was in maybe 2001, 2002, and they were a web client. And there was a woman named Patricia Wolf.
I like how you remember.
I actually went and looked it up in my email because I have all my email from then. So I looked for Boundless until I saw her name. And because I didn't remember, but I remembered it rang a bell. And once I saw her name, it like started to flood back to me. But
did you speak with her or did you just exchange emails?
So I think I was having trouble remembering this. And then I was like, no, we definitely spoke. And it started to come back. So we would speak, but it was never... it was never chit chatty. It's so hard to remember, but I remember it kind of being like conference call-y or just like very direct. Like, could you please like change this text? And then, so it was never like, you know, develop a rapport or develop friendship or anything. It was just very like cut and dry, but she had this, she had this accent. I just remember, I can't connect to it at all, except the feeling I got when I like an echo of the feeling I got when I heard her voice. Like she just had this, and it was the most businesslike, least sexy things she could be saying, but she had such a sexy voice. And so this kind of rang a bell for me in that kind of context, where there's just some people have these voices that are totally separate from personality or their looks or from anything, that are just like, yeah.
When Corey was moving to Chicago, he had to get permission from the city to close off like a parking spot so he could put in a storage unit or the box thing, you know, the box that you move across the country. So he did that. And then after he was done, someone had to come and collect the like no parking signs. And so I was home. So she called me and she had like, I don't know, like Australian or like New Zealand or something. And I felt so accomplished for some reason, like it was a business call.
You were proud of this
deal that I don't know. It was like a 10-second phone call.
You closed the deal. Did she have a sexy voice?
She had a good accent. It was just very posh.
We've had some emails. Important. We've had some emails about your voice, Mari, on this show.
That's weird, though. That's one thing that I don't know if I'll always hate it, but it seems like a thing that most people don't like. And
the sound of your own voice?
I'm not super into it. Yeah. Well, also, I don't always feel like I have a deep voice. It's more like ducky to me.
You don't sound like a duck. Wait, ducky like the dinosaur from Land Before Time?
No.
Because I don't think you sound like that.
Maybe more of a Petrie.
You definitely sound like Petrie for sure.
Okay. All right.
So I don't know the specifics of this. I would imagine it's a phone deal or an interview deal, but I think voices, I can see it. For me, it's a little bit more of an accent thing for whatever reason, but sometimes there's a line from a Pixies song that is, what song is it? I've Been Tired, maybe? It's where he says, voice like milk. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Voice like milk.
Voice like milk, breasts like a cluster of grapes. And I'd never, you know, that's a song.
I don't remember that lyric.
I think it's in I've Been Tired. But I was super into that song and I was super into the Pixies for a long time, but I never knew what that meant. And then I don't remember who it was, though. But I remember at some point I met or talked to some woman and I was like, oh, that's a voice like milk.
Oh,
not the cluster of grapes. No, I've seen grapes. I definitely, but I heard the voice like milk and I was like, I get it. I know exactly what he's talking about.
That's cool. That's a cool thing about getting older.
Yeah. It took like 5 or 6 years, I think, before.
I like that.
Yeah. It was nice. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think it's weird. I think you can totally get into, I think there's an infinity of ways and reasons you can be attracted to another person. And voice is not even close to the weird end of that list.
Oh yeah. I think it's mostly just a funny story or something.
Yeah. Maybe. Anything else, Mari? You want to roll along?
I'm a 17-year-old girl. I'll be 18 next month and I work in the fast food industry. I just transferred branches and the new coworkers are very touchy. I'm not a fan. I'm not a person who doesn't like being touched, but I need to know these people better. This last week, I was talking with a manager who looks around 26-ish in a friendly way, but tonight he brought me into the break room and kissed me multiple times. It wasn't the best kiss I've ever had, but certainly not the worst. It just wasn't memorable. I'm just worried about the age difference and the relationship between a manager and an employee. I don't know what to do, and I can't get the thought of him kissing out of my head. Hashtag SMH. Hashtag don't know what to do. Hashtag so confused.
All right. This is another one. So I think this is an interesting situation, but the statements that I like are, it just wasn't memorable, followed by, I just can't get the thought of him kissing me out of my head.
Yeah. A little confused here.
And I know one of them was like an assessment of quality and one of them is an assessment of the situation, but it's just kind of funny to have those back to back. So, I also like saying fast food industry. Instead of, you know, I work at a fast food place.
McDonald's.
Mari, what do you say about this? This kind of creeps me out a little bit.
I say no.
No.
Tell him not to do that. Stop.
So.
No.
Okay.
Just no.
That's my instinct too. But something I know.
No buts.
Well, here's what I know about restaurants. And here's what I know about, you know, from people that have worked at restaurants and things like that. Everybody sleeps with everybody. I've heard this multiple times from different people working at different restaurants of just what a ridiculous, like, it's just crazy how and awful. And it sounds terrible to me to like be working at a place where you've slept with three people and it just, and you're around them all the time. Sounds terrible. But this is apparently a very common thing. So I don't know if she just like walked into like a hypersexual branch of Chipotle. I don't know, but but
what branch do you work at?
What branch is this? Is this the one that I was just at on 8th Street? Because I would like to know. I don't like this, and I sure don't like that. Man, I don't know. It's weird because this isn't part of my reality. This isn't part of the world that I live in. It's something you see in movies, like, you know, the manager takes the girl into the break room and kisses her or something like that.
Yeah, this is a very sad indie movie.
It really
about,
is.
Like, it's about like Juno and she's pregnant and works at a
Chipotle.
Wiener
Schnitzel?
I don't know if that's a thing.
She works at Wiener Schnitzel. I don't like it. And I don't, it doesn't sound like you are comfortable with it or you like it. Almost the tone of this is like you're somewhat apologetic. Like,
yeah.
Like it's your
husband
fault
or something.
Or even like, oh, you know, all these people are touching me. I just need to get to know them better. Like, if you don't want to be touched by people, it's not your fault. Like, it's not your, you're not the bad guy if you don't want to be touched all the time or taken into break room and kissed. Yeah, the age difference is weird. The manager employee thing is weird. The likelihood that he has probably done that to every single girl who works there who's 17 years old is a little weird too. Like, I don't think that's cool or appropriate. And if, I mean, like truly, if this is something that you really didn't like and you really feel violated by it, like this is totally workplace sexual harassment. Like this is not cool. And if you're really, there's no reason you have to take this or should want to take it because you can, you are definitely wronged in the situation unless, I mean, it says you were talking to him in a personal friendly way. I don't know if that was flirtatious or what, but like, this is not a really cool situation. If you, if you're really that uncomfortable about it, like there's no reason you couldn't complain to higher ups and like get the guy fired or get transferred again or what, or whatever. Like you don't have to put up with this. So it's, I mean, to me, and I mean, you're 17, you're pretty young, like, or I guess you're, oh, you turned 18. Happy birthday. You're 18 now.
You're a man now.
You're a man now. It sounds like you're, I don't know. The tone seems like you're treating it like it's your problem. Like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do about it. He's older than me, all this stuff. Like that's not, I think that maybe isn't where your head should be. I think your head should be like, wow, that manager totally inappropriately did this.
Yeah.
That's not very
cool. She's probably still in shock.
Maybe so. So you handle it however you want to handle it. Like, I just want you to know that you, like, you're not a weirdo here. Like you're not the person doing weird things. You're kind of the person having things done to them. And if you're not into it, you totally don't have to put up with it at all.
Maybe find someone you can confide in that works there. Cause like you said, I'm sure this happened before.
Yeah, man.
Like Scott said,
it's a, I don't know. I don't want to like, I didn't even, that actually just sort of surprised myself. I wasn't even thinking in terms of like sexual harassment or anything, but if you feel that way, you should definitely handle it that way. On the other hand, I mean, I totally know, again, like going back to those stories, I know people that have worked at restaurants that thought it was great or, you know, like the atmosphere was of casual sexuality. And if that's something you're comfortable with, like sleeping around with your coworkers or whatever, then maybe, you know, maybe that's totally fine if that's something you're into and it doesn't bother you and you like it, but don't be pushed into that if you're not into it.
Yeah, totally.
Mariah, have anything like this ever happened to you? Like, has there ever been any, like, in anything, even like, you know, school or work or anything where you had this like surprise sexual attack?
I've had problems with people maybe getting too comfortable with me, or I feel like they're taking advantage of me, not in a sexual way, but maybe with some like attraction from them on their part.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a really, really bad nightmare rape dream about them. And I decide that's when I have to get them out of my life. And that's happened twice with two different people.
Can you say the context? Like, was it work or what? I mean,
it was, they're both, one was school and one was like more personal, but it's just people who are very clingy and, I don't know.
I feel
they
like
I don't treat you well.
I feel like I've had that to some degree with just person to person. In fact, I know I have just like, you know, interpersonal stuff, but I don't feel like I ever had it in what you might consider like a, you know, like a professional setting or an academic setting or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like where it was a coworker or a superior or anything. And even if some part of me had wished that Patricia Wolf had like flown over from Germany or wherever she was, I don't know. So it's a little hard for me to identify with this just because I've never been in this situation. Murray, have you ever kissed a 17-year-old girl at a Chipotle?
I don't think I kissed a 17-year-old girl when I was 17.
Okay.
And Chipotle wasn't as popular back then, so probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation. Depending on how you look at it, like, you know, one way to look at it is it's totally harmless. Like, it's just, that's just an aspect of certain restaurants that people do that thing, and that's how it goes. But really, like, if you are feeling really bad about it, like, you don't have to put up with this. Mm-hmm.
I also don't really think of Chipotle as fast food. It's about as fast or as slow as you can make Mexican food. I
just said Chipotle because I ate there yesterday and it sounded like a funny restaurant name. Can you think of any other restaurant names that would be funnier? I agree that Wiener Schnitzel would maybe have been funnier for me to say.
What's the, I'm thinking of hot dog on a stick.
Okay. You could have done that.
That's what I was thinking of, but I said Wiener Hut, which isn't a thing.
There was a place called something like Corn Dog 9 in the mall in Amarillo,
that's
but
weird.
I don't think, yeah, I think, or maybe it was Corn Dog 7. I don't know what it meant.
Cheesecake Factory.
That's not fast food. No. Yeah. I don't know. We're going to have to workshop
that's true.
Come up with better jokes, or next time you could just tell us where you work. But yeah, man, don't put up with it. If you're into it, do it, have a fling, but it seems kind of gross to me because he's probably done it a lot of times with a lot of different people in the break room. So I don't know about that.
Gross.
Mari, do you want to move on?
My current motivation for getting better at drawing and comics is to impress this amazing girl / illustration student I met at SPX, even though she lives 400 miles away from me. /. Awkward face.
That's a backslash, Murray.
Is it? No, backslash is...
It goes backwards.
Oh, my backwards is backwards.
Backwards is backwards. So what do you think about this? What's your instinct here? Gut reaction?
Wait, that's not a forward slash?
No, it's pointing, the top is going backwards.
But you say HTTP, HTTP.
If you say backslash, slash, you're saying it wrong.
Forward slash, I don't remember. Anyway, well, what did you say?
What do you feel about this backslash? What do you feel about this person?
I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. That's the backslash? Mari, I thought the backslash was a backslash because it was going back.
Is yours not?
Because the incline, it goes down.
No. The top is going
backwards. But I think of
backwards.
It as the bottom because it's top to bottom.
Mari, do you need to look back on Wikipedia? Do you want me to send you a link?
No.
Okay.
I'll just live in denial.
Okay. Anyway. So what do you think about this person in this situation?
I was trying to figure out where this person lived, but I have no idea because they don't live at SPX. They could live anywhere.
So what I wanted to say, my first instinct was like some sagely advice, which I wanted to say something like, you know, you need to do these things for yourself. You need to not worry about what other people think, you know, but then I realized that that is nonsense because basically pretty much half of everything ever done ever has been to impress a girl.
Mm-hmm. Probably, or, you know, just a person of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
A person you're attracted to.
Mari, are you under arrest? There they go.
Yeah. Can you really hear that well?
I can hear it.
Sorry, someone's robbing the post office.
Oh man, all the stamps.
Someone in the post office died or it's on fire.
Well, that's too bad. You know, like think about, you know, every song, every like there's just so much that people's motivation in doing it is to like increase whether or not it's to like, you know, immediately impress a single person or just to overall increase their attractiveness. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think the only danger with something like this is that you drop the motivation when you drop your interest in the person. You know what I mean? Like if they're totally tied together and one day you say to yourself, you like, you know what? This girl is 400 miles away. I'm never going to see her again. I should just let it go. So when you let her go, I don't want you to let go your motivation to get better. But that aside, like almost any motivation is good motivation. And the thing I think of is like, you know, like that, there's almost this form of revenge motivation that comes with when after people break up, where like you want to look really good, and you so you get a haircut and new clothes, and you go to the gym and stuff like that. And it's like part
you
of it is
hope you kind of hope that they see you.
Yeah, part of it is rebuilding your self-confidence, and maybe the motivation actually comes from kind of a petty place, like I hope they see me and see you know. I hope they're sorry when they see how good I look or whatever, but that doesn't mean the motivation is bad. And I think, so I think it's not a, I think it's a good deal. I think you should write it out, but just try not to tie it so closely to one person that if you do lose interest in them, then it's over.
I think the main danger is making comics about this person because that's usually a bad idea.
What if they're erotic?
It's a very bad idea.
What if they're friend fic?
That's fine. What then if you should show me. Send me a link.
what if they're friend
fic?
Put it
online. Put it on http://.
Are you ready for this? What if it's friend fic in the form of an SMS-based choose your own adventure game and takes place in a Chipotle? Can someone please do that for me? I think it's fine. I think you do it. I think you if you want to think of it in these terms, which you may or may not want to, but you can think of her as your muse. Like like, you know, just think that right now she's your muse. She's your reason for doing this. She's your inspiration. That may change at some point. You may find a new muse, whatever. It seems like you're bummed out about it because you like this girl and she's far away. And I think we've come out pretty frequently, against long distance relationships, but you work it however you need to, but I don't think you should let that affect the way you think about your work. Like if she's inspiring you to work, that's awesome. You should ride that out.
400 miles isn't that far anyway.
No. Do you hear how squeaky my voice is? Why is my voice so squeaky?
I don't know. Do you swallow a rat?
I might have a chew toy.
I don't know. Yeah.
I might have swallowed a chew toy. Anything else on this guy, Marie?
For people who don't know, SPX is the Small Press Expo. And I guess it happened in September or something.
Have you ever been in this situation where you feel like, you know, your entire motivation for doing something was one single person? Like,
I still feel that way about a lot of people.
Yeah.
Not my entire motivation, but I want to be good enough that I'm on someone's radar, even though we haven't talked in like years. And one person, I'm not going to mention their name. One, like girls from high school. I'm trying to think of who else. Maybe just the one girl from high school.
The girl that got away?
She got away. She was never like
you never
there
had her
to begin with. Yeah.
I don't know. I can think of like actually in a totally different context, but a similar thing. Like I feel like, you know, talking about the Pixies a minute ago, I feel like I started to really like the Pixies because a girl I liked really liked the Pixies. And then I just ended up really liking them, you know? So, I mean, it's one way to just get into things. And that's a nice thing about relationships with anybody or any kind of relationship with anybody is exposure to new things. So I think, you know, she's your muse. Write it out. Enjoy it.
Yeah. It's a really corny way of putting it though.
Mark, you're not my muse anymore.
Oh, I want to ask you how you feel about fame as a motivation. That's been a tricky one for me.
I struggle with it to the point that I feel like I sabotage myself. And that's something I like struggle with a lot. Like I've gotten to the point that I question my motivations for things so much that I almost corner myself with them.
Right.
It's really hard. So that's why I've just been kind of like right now, I've just been trying to totally remove from that and just work on things for the sake of working on them and not worry so much about, or at least try not to. It's really hard though. There's just to mention another De Botton book, there's one called Status Anxiety. And a lot of it is about like having other people's perception of you as your motivation, whether it's in terms of like your neighbors or being famous or whatever.
What's it called?
Status anxiety.
Status. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Like where you're
status,
anxious about your status among people. So I
see. Right.
I struggle with it. I don't know what the right answer is because I think if that's all you want, then even if you do get it, it's not going to make you happy. Like it's not going to be a fulfilling thing. It's one of those things where you're setting up your whole life to be about the future. you know, where you're like living in the future, like this is the outcome I want. So I think it's really easy to lose track of your present and like lose track of your life and enjoying your life if you're so focused on whatever it is, getting famous or getting an album or getting signed or, you know, whatever it is.
Right. But well, things like an album, like something maybe tangible or limited, like writing a book and it's
maybe it's
300 pages, whatever.
Album wasn't the right word. I should say getting signed, like, you know, your motivation is to be a famous band or whatever. And I've known lots of people like that, and it's always kind of sad to me. But at the same time, you know, I've also known some people that have been relatively successful by pursuing that kind of thing. But I think they got there not because they were, their goal was fame, but it was because they really enjoyed what they were doing and worked hard on it and all of that. So I think as a soul motivator, it's dangerous and tricky. And for myself right now, I'm like almost self-sabotaging in the way that I am worried about it. So,
yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I would like to see more of your stuff, but I also haven't been checking your website. So maybe that's my fault.
But I also haven't been putting a lot of, I've just haven't been putting a lot of stuff up or documenting it well, you know, except for the school stuff that goes in that one place. So I have a different trajectory with a different kind of fame sort of planned out where I want to be known in my field, but in like a functional way where I'll be known well enough where I can be asked to come speak at conferences and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Where, so I need a level of status to accomplish that, but it's not that I want that level of status just because I want to be, you know, a well-known person, but because I want the, there's some specific benefits of that, that I think would be helpful to me. So we'll see. I don't know. It's something I'm still struggling with.
I want that, but for comics, I just need to make a book, I guess.
Last secret.
Is this the last one? I thought there was two more.
Did I make that
feedback
up?
Okay, I got it. I recently had no strings attached sex for the first time with an ex-girlfriend after not having seen her for 4 years. For the record, I would never go out with her again. She told me that it was great, but I definitely need strings to enjoy it. I'd rather have masturbated, and masturbated is spelled wrong.
I like the way it's spelled.
For some reason, I saw it like in my peripheral vision, and I thought it said something about bread.
Masturbated. I think the first distinction we need to make that this ex-girlfriend is not a mutant. She's just a regular, just the regular kind.
Okay, but it's not hyphenated, so maybe there's supposed to be a comma in there. Like
with an ex-comma-girlfriend.
I had sex for the first time with an ex-girlfriend. So we don't know if it was just...
You think it was just a really sassy, maybe. Person?
Maybe.
No one has written in and referred to us as girlfriend before, so I would really like that, actually. So, Mari, I mean, this seems pretty cut and dry to me. Do you have any thoughts on this? I think I've come down on, as we all know, I have my greater string theory that there are always strings attached, and that no strings attached doesn't mean anything. And I've also come down kind of on this guy's stance that I need some strings too for it to be good.
Yeah, I have pretty much no thoughts on this. I don't really care.
Whoa.
I don't know what the secret is. I don't know. It doesn't sound like there's a problem at all.
No, but what about this scenario? Like he was dating this girl, and then 4 years later they come back together, which is kind of a long space. And I've kind of been in those situations before where you come back together with somebody after a long time. And it's almost like you tie one on for old time's sake. Like you just end up, you know, one thing leads to another quickly because you know each other's bodies and things like that. So I've had that happen before. Have you ever had anything like that where you've come up years later with somebody?
Not years. It was after I didn't break up with Lola. We broke up. There were times when we'd be in bed, maybe just not like, I don't think we had slept together. But it was really hard to not do that. It's kind of a different problem.
No, but I think that's the right. I mean, that's kind of the right thought, because it can be really surprising how even after years, it still can come naturally, and not always, because there's also been people that I've run into like years later that there's just zero anything. But you know, like if you had chemistry to begin with, it's not too shocking that years later you might still have some chemistry.
The thing about strings, though, is that I feel like there are strings. Like you guys, maybe you haven't seen each other for 4 years, I just feel like if you're still kind of in contact, that you're still friends, and I don't know.
I even feel like that's different because I don't. Gosh, I don't even quite know how I would handle that now. Like if certain people just showed up, I don't know what to do about it because on the one hand, like it would probably be an easy thing to do, but on the other hand, like, yeah, without strings, it doesn't really do it for me. Like if I'm not emotionally involved with somebody, it's tricky. So I don't know. Yeah. I think it's, I also thought it was just kind of funny. And this was sort of just like a wide commentary on a lot of the things we get into Kiss and Tell, but that he ends with, I'd rather have masturbated. Because I, the thing that struck me with that is just that, gosh, you know, sex is such a complicated thing and has so much thought and energy put into it and has such a high status and such this like high vision of how great it is and all of those things.
Right.
But I feel like there's been a couple of times where for whatever reason that I've had sex, that it was just too much trouble. It was more trouble than it was worth on whatever way, like either getting to it was too much trouble or the act of it was too much trouble or the aftermath of it was too much trouble where it was just like, man, I would have been better off just masturbating. However you spell it, I would have been better off just doing it. I mean, have you ever felt that like that? Like, man, it would have just been easier. It would have just taken a couple minutes and
be asleep.
Yeah. It would have been done. Like I wouldn't have to worry about the pressure of getting somebody else off or like the self-consciousness or any of this stuff. Like I could have just taken care of it and, we'd all be done here. Everyone would be happier. Uh-huh. It's hard. And I think, you know, it's, I don't know. It was just interesting to me because it has such, you know, like on the surface, it's just the ultimate goal, sort of. Like sex is the thing. It's the best thing. There's nothing better than sex. Like it's the best thing. But sometimes it's like when you weigh it out, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And it would have been better to just keep your hands to yourself in a very literal sense.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Maury?
I'm just still thinking about how this person says they need strings. But I think the strings are there.
Yeah, I think what they're saying is like
it's just different.
He wants to have an emotional attachment. Like it's hard, like to just have total. And I, you know, that I've talked about it before. But when I was in that relationship that ended and we kept sleeping together, it was still there was still a lot of physical attraction there. But it was definitely different. Like it just was, you know, it just wasn't the same, and it wasn't as good, really. Like to not be emotional, even though like we were still enjoying the physical aspect of it, to not have the emotional aspect was not as good for me. And so I can totally get what he's saying with that, that it's just, it's not without the emotional aspect. It's kind of just, you know, a bunch of trouble.
Yeah. You were saying that like sex is the goal, but maybe, you know, it's more accurate to say that relationships or being with someone is the goal.
Well, then maybe that's what it should be, but I just mean like what people think of, you know, and maybe part of it's cultural or whatever, or the age that we're in, but like, you know, where sex is like, it's like, yeah, sex, nothing's better than sex. Like, you know,
when someone says they want a girlfriend or a boyfriend, they just want sex usually
often, or, you know, that's what you go out for or get laid, whatever. So anyway, I think that it's just funny to have that put in perspective a little bit, because I don't think a lot of people talk about it so much like that, where it's like, man, that was actually a lot, you know, whatever. Even if you think of it in terms of that, like get laid kind of mentality, it's like all the time and effort you went to like, look good, go to some bar, pick up some girl, the 6 hours of that went into like the 15 minutes of sex and then whatever aftermath, like call her later or whatever, like having to get out of it, you know, like,
I'm sure it was really awkward.
Yeah. There has to be a point where it's not.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, like I've never done it just because, but I've had like friends tell me about one night stands where they've woken up at the person's house after they were drunk. And like, I had one guy she had given him a ride there, and where they were in Texas, it was hard to leave. So he basically had to spend the whole day with her. And it was so awkward because it was just a drunken hookup. Like that is a place where I'm pretty sure he would have rathered that he had just gone home and masturbated, because it was such an awkward, uncomfortable situation.
I like this email paired with the first one.
The first one, you about the, The penis?
I don't know. Just no. Well, not maybe not the first one. Which one was it? It was the one about the virgin. I guess that was maybe kind of deep.
Oh, yeah, secret. Yeah. Right.
It was early, you know, just like...
Back in the old days?
I don't know. Not putting sex on a pedestal, but worrying about it too much. And then this guy's like, whatever.
Yeah, it's really... Man, sex is complicated stuff, everybody. And...
Oh.
I don't know if you know that, Mari. I don't know if you know that about sex. It should be good. It should be nice. It should be a nice thing. But it so often becomes this awful, complicated, terrible thing. So I guess the lesson here, Mari, what's the lesson? It shouldn't be your only motivation. Like there's more to it that might make it better for you. And I feel like there's a reinforcement, particularly like, you know, like high school or whatever, like sex, like he's had sex, like all of that is just such a, there's so much pressure to do that. And it's such a, and it, you know, biologically, it's a very strong goal. Like your body wants to do it, but it's just maybe not have sex, everybody, but don't do it if it would be better not to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good advice? I don't even know how to phrase that exactly. It's not the most important thing in the universe, even though it kind of biologically is. It's maybe not what you should focus your whole life around.
That's so weird. It's so weird that we like go against it.
I know. Should we not? Should we all go to Chipotle and just do it?
I don't know. That's where it's at.
I don't know the answer either, Mari. But that was the last secret. So, and now we do have some feedback. We're just going to brush right through it. We have some feedback stepped over from, we've got like 6 months worth. So I picked a few out of there. So let's see what we got.
Did you refer to this thing by its name?
Oh,
yeah.
I can't believe I didn't say it.
I don't know if I forgot. I wasn't listening.
No, I am so sorry. This is the Corey Schmitz Memorial Feedback. And I think maybe we should, you know, take a moment of silence and just think about the person for whom this was named, wherever he is now, which is Chicago, and whatever he might be doing, probably playing video games. And just, you know, think about him and think about all the great things he's done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moment's over. From what I have observed reading their tweets and listening to this podcast, I have deduced several things about these boys. Scott is a huggable golden retriever who will wag his tail and recite poetry to you when you come home and make you feel loved. Mari is a cat who is equally huggable, but he won't always like it. Will always quickly slink away and will probably not welcome you home. And Corey is a lizard who is possibly dead and dried up under the armoire, but may have escaped from the house to reproduce and conquer the world, but you'll never really know.
So I thought this was really interesting just because of this perception of us. Mari, what can you spot that's wrong with this picture?
I don't know. It seems pretty accurate to me.
You think so? You think that I am a golden retriever and not Corey? Corey is like
Corey is also a lizard who's possibly dead.
Yeah, okay, aside from that, but like just the like the image of like a happy wagging tail goofball golden retriever is 100% Corey Schmitz to me. That's absolutely Corey to me. Okay, I don't feel like I'm like that. I feel like
What do you feel like? Are you a cat too?
I definitely view myself as a cat. Maybe a more friendly cat.
Uh-huh.
Like jump in your lap kind of cat. In fact, I feel you've seen the pictures of Grumpy Cat, right?
I don't know. Probably.
Okay. I've
seen pictures of a Grumpy Cat.
No, his name is Tartar Sauce and he goes by Tart and he lives in Arizona and he is the Grumpy Cat. And I feel like he is my spirit animal. Like he's my Patronus. Uh-huh. If I cast a Patronus, it would be the Grumpy Cat because he's, you know, a nice friendly little cat, but he's just kind of grumpy about everything. So that's who I identify with. Who knows what my on podcast personality probably reads differently than that. But from my perspective, I would say that Corey Schmitz is definitely a golden retriever. Mari and I are probably both cats. I'm just maybe more of a kitten. Maybe I'm more of a kitten than Mari. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. I'm an old cat.
And, Corey's not dead under an armoire. He's doing amazing things all the time. If you follow him on Twitter, he's basically posting cool things that he's worked on pretty much every day.
Yeah. He's not a lizard, but he is possibly dead.
He might be dead.
I just like that. That imagery because, you know, you've had lizards before and they just escape. You don't know what happens to them.
They get there. You never know what happened to them. Mari, what is next?
I know what Mario looks like, but what does Scott look like? I've tried snooping around for a photo. Why do I need to do this?
So, Mare,
are they asking why they need to snoop?
Or I don't know.
Why
is this
they
a secret?
Compelled to?
Well, I don't know. So, on the one hand, this is something I've struggled with a little bit with podcasts. Is like part of you wants to know what the person looks like, but part of you doesn't. Do you ever feel that?
I can't listen to podcasts anymore. You know what? I'm not going to say like, oh, I can never listen to them, or like, I think they're boring. I just like to listen to music.
I can identify with that somewhat because I cut out like 80% of the podcasts that I used to listen to. Uh-huh. I listen to very, very few now. But
no, like I'll see someone's comics and then I'll be like, what do they look like? Are they cute?
Do you want to know sometimes, or do you feel like it's a little bit of a,
I rarely act on it, but then they're cute. So
it's okay.
You know,
I just don't, I don't have any right now that I haven't seen, but I can kind of put myself back into the shoes of, you know, with like having not seen the Stuff You Should Know guys, or having not seen the McElroy brothers or whatever, and then seeing them. I don't think it made it better or worse, but it's just different because, you know, it's hard to even, I don't even know quite what I was in. It's weird because you lose whatever fake imaginary person you have instantly as soon as you actually see them. Like, even if you listen to 100 episodes and you have some mental picture of them, it's just instantly gone the minute you see them. So, Mare, I'm trying to think of, are there lots of pictures of you online, or are they mostly drawings of you? I feel like there's an infinite number of drawings of you online.
I put stuff up. I take pictures. And, you know, on Tumblr, I used to be better about posting pictures of, I don't know, cookies I've made or something like that.
Yeah.
Like really into feeding like that fame monster.
So that's something that I struggle with a little bit because one, you know, in part of wanting to be more well known, like it does help to have a face to go with it, you know?
Right.
But I also, I don't know, because I also retract from that. So like, if you look at my Flickr, there's not any pictures of me at all. Like I don't put photos of myself up for kind of various reasons. There's one headshot that I use for everything because I'm wearing glasses in it and I don't wear glasses. So I think it's kind of funny. So it's the,
so
that's
weird
everywhere, all over, even on my website, like everywhere I use this one picture of me wearing someone else's glasses. Cause it's almost like, I don't know. It's like a Clark Kent.
They don't even look real.
They're not.
Are they Tawnies?
They're fake. No, they're fake glasses Tawny bought in Japan.
Okay.
And now she has real glasses that look like them. But
for me, sometimes not being able to find a picture makes me distrust someone, and not like, oh, they're ugly, but like, it feels like they're actively trying to hide themselves. And I don't know why.
I get that. Cause I used to have pictures of myself on Flickr and I took them all down just because I don't know, like some inverse vanity thing, but I do have a picture of myself on my website profile. So you could go look at it again. It is that headshot picture. That isn't me. I think if you search Flickr, you'll find pictures other people took of me like that. Or even like that vegan of the week photo is that same headshot photo that I sent in for it.
Oh, was that with Anika?
Yeah. I sent her that same picture. So you can find this one picture of me without too much trouble. Like, I think if you just Google for Scott Gardner, you'll find it. There are some, another couple of pictures of me, I think, in the show notes from various times. I'll
leave. I have to tell them where these are hidden.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it wouldn't be that hard to find a picture of me. And then there's like
I'm trying to find a picture, I will find it.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Like, if you Google for me, you'll find it. There's like some Vimeo demonstrations of me demonstrating the piano gloves or whatever. So, but
absolutely.
I guess one thing is that I do kind of, I don't know. I don't put pictures of me up for reasons that are kind of what I was talking about, like the inverse kind of fame thing or whatever. But I do think it helps to like have a face to it. So you can find them. You're obviously not snooping well enough, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And you can find
a lot of the time.
Who's calling you, Mari?
That's my alarm. I'm supposed to be waking up right now.
Mari, wake up. It's clearly time to wake up.
9:45 a.m.
Please wake up and finish this podcast. What were you going to say?
When I don't see someone's picture, when I can't find a picture, I think that they're fake. I can't believe that they're human.
What if you find their picture and it's just like a bikini girl? like their Twitter profiles.
Then they're a spam bot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not real.
So you can't. What if you just really are a bikini girl? Like, there's just no way for you to win.
Yeah, basically. You're just, it's impossible. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's completely real. Okay. What is next?
Oh, listening to you guys, for some reason, and among other things, has helped me find the courage to go back to art school and reawaken my dreams.
Maury, that's a good thing that happened. I wish that he hadn't. I wish they hadn't diluted it with the other things.
So, yeah, I don't know what that means.
Listening to you guys, among other things. So like 15% of you guys. Like, I think I was influenced by maybe 15% of the decision.
That sounds so definite. And then us, it's for some reason.
Oh, yeah, man. No, actually, I thought this was really nice, and I appreciate that. And I'm glad that there's somebody out there that we semi-help. Maury, you don't. I feel like we've told people to follow their dreams, and this is someone following their dreams. Aren't you happy about that?
They don't know what they're doing.
That is not very supportive.
Just because it's your dream doesn't mean it has to come true.
Wow. This might be the least supportive you've ever been.
Oh, I guess so, maybe. The art school thing is just such a tricky, sticky wicket.
Yeah, okay. That situation is tricky. But I'm proud of you for following your dreams, probably something that was a difficult choice to make. And I can say, you know, my choice to, like, quit my job and come to New York and go back to school was partially influenced by podcasts as well, which sounds a little weird, but, like, you know, I think...
It's very lame.
It's super weak, and I don't want anyone to repeat that to anyone. But... they have an influence on my life, and certain shows that I listen to were specifically about that kind of thing, like making stuff. So I think it's great, and I'm glad we could help out. I hope there's other people that we have helped out. That concludes the feedback. Mari, do you have any, what did we even call these? Shout outs? What did we call these? Show notes? We used to have a word for these where we would just say something.
Like, they're about the show.
Yeah. That's a different thing.
Statements.
Mari, what's your closing statement?
Goodbye.
Mari says goodbye. Mari was recently, if you haven't seen, you probably have, he was the artist in residence on Tumblr. Is that right, Mari?
It's for a department of editorial, which is like a little department of Tumblr. So it was for reblorg.com.
Yeah, so
I don't think I can, it was for Tumblr, but not really for Tumblr.
So go check out some Mari stuff. Mari, you got anything else that people should go have a look-see at?
I did a comic 2 nights ago, and then I slept all of yesterday.
Okay.
For LA Game Space, which is my friend's project to open up a crazy game space in LA. It's for residencies and art exhibitions and demos, whatever. It's on the Kickstarter. You should kick it.
I have just been doing weird stuff at school. So I've got a Tumblr if you want to go look at some of the strange things I've been doing. And I think that's it. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys that have, in whatever weird form, stuck with us, even though we take these 6-month breaks. I think we will hopefully try to do them a little more frequently. Thank you for everyone for sending in your secrets. Please keep those coming. Those are absolutely something we need. One little comment. The French liar that we kind of called out on one of the previous shows wrote back to say that they weren't exactly a liar. And we're sorry if we made you feel bad. You don't need to feel bad, but that they were actually sending in their friends' secrets. You don't have to send in your friends' secrets. Get your friends to send them in and just bother them until they do. That's a good pro tip. So send in some secrets. You can follow us in all those goofy ways that people do things on the internet, Twitter, Tumblr, all that jazz. You know how to find all that nonsense. And
Pinterest.
Can we have a Pinterest?
Yes.
Okay. Mari, did you know that I'm huge on Pinterest?
Nah.
Go search for me on Pinterest. I'm huge. And I think that is it. So thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you at some later undisclosed date. Bye.
Bye. I want to